Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here, as always, with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. Caitlin, what are we talking about today?
Right, well, today I wrote a satire piece, which actually means that I wrote more truth than I've written in a long time.
Yeah, the best satire is mostly true.
Yeah. So it's called If Western Media Were Honest About Russia. And so I didn't, like, I've got this imaginary national news conglomerate, that's been a lot of fun, hasn't it? Like, we've created images
NNC.
For it at NNC, like, you know, and different little promos for them and everything, and, like, their little tagline,
obey,
amuses the hell out of us. Anyway, so, yeah, there's been... So yesterday we talked about the Skripal case, which is starting to fall apart before their very eyes.
It's coming apart at the seams.
Just isn't working. I mean, it was pretty dodgy to start with. It was on a very rickety kind of wheelbase. It was like, it looked like something that... that Fred Flintstone had put together to begin with, didn't it? There was, you know, it was like, it's definitely Russia, but, like, you know, we're not sure how, we think it was this, we think it was that, and then they kept changing the story, it got debunked over and over again.
Yeah, everything changed about it except, yeah, but it was totally Russia.
Totally Russia.
Could only possibly be Russia.
And then yesterday, surprise, surprise, the only fact that they had based everything on was the Porton Downs Chemical Laboratory in England, in the UK, was said to have identified it as a Russian-created chemical.
Right.
It had the signature.
UK government was saying that.
Yes, repeatedly.
Can be no doubt.
I asked the guy and, you know, he was unequivocal, all of this stuff. Turns out that was a little bit of a white lie. And the CEO of the company itself came out and said, no, that's not quite true. We do recognize that it's Novichok. It's a powerful nerve agent, but we cannot, you know, distinguish where it's come from.
Yeah, and they said it's never been their job to distinguish where it came from. So that was a lie from the beginning.
From the beginning, yeah. So I guess they were just hoping that they would just not say anything. And you can do that. Like, if you're more powerful than someone and you lie over the top of them, then often it can feel like too much, you know, too much hard work, or like that they're going to get in trouble correcting you. So... maybe Boris Johnson just thought that if, you know, that crazy-haired man, if he just said it loud enough and strong enough for long enough, then the Porton Downs wouldn't feel like they could correct him.
Well, if he's been paying attention to US media, he has no reason to doubt that.
Yeah, it's exactly the way they do things, isn't it?
It was that whole statement, and the fact that it was reported by the British media is a total change of script. From the US media. Total divergence.
Oh, you mean that the correction was reported?
Yeah. Just the fact that this clash of narratives was reported on. It's like, well, it appears that Boris Johnson and his allied politicians have been lying.
Right, yeah.
And the fact that they're just saying that in the freaking Guardian, of all places, even.
Yeah.
I mean, the BBC and all them are going to great lengths to try and spin it as well, but it was reported, and that's very different from US media.
Yeah, they will just... US media just doubles down, ignores segments, pushes it, like, you know, waits until alternative media reports it so they can say, well, that's just fake news, right. And, you know, that's a technique called fixing it. Mm. Especially if you can get Alex Jones to say it, then...
Yeah, just share that around. Look at this guy!
Yeah. That kills the story stone dead. Or the National Enquirer or whatever, you know, someone with disrepute. But yeah, this one came out on Sky News and then they had to actually report it because it was just... it was just too obvious.
Right. And Moon of Alabama, you linked in the article, has great... new blog piece about just showing the specific lies that the UK government has been telling, and then the attempts that they've been making to cover up those lies.
Right.
As well as, like, the New York Times and the BBC has been helping them cover it up.
If you're interested in this story, you really should be reading that blog.
It's- yeah, Moon of Alabama, guys. Check it out. That's the best source for information on new developments about this Novichok thing.
He's like, elbows deep in it, isn't he? Yeah. And he's a great writer. He really knows how to bring out the... To shine it up so that you can, you know, really understand step by step what's going on.
Yeah, and that's important because he goes through, like, really tedious details. Instead, it's important to be able to make it shine.
Yeah, no, he's really good. Anyway, that wasn't the actual point of the satire. The point of the satire was, well, the fact that, so the scenario was that, like, NNC was sitting around going, well, how are we going to spin this? I know. How will we tell the truth? We'll see what, see, and then they spent 6.5 hours, like, looking awkwardly at each other because they didn't quite know how to do that. And I tried to just kind of black ink, you know, out what the motives of the US and Western Empire is in creating this as a false flag. That's important because so many people, and this will probably sound ridiculous to people who listen to us, but it's true. So many people have come at me saying, well, no one else has a motive except Russia. It's like because they're, it's like the eyes of the person that they can't even see, you know, that the machine that they're a part of.
Right.
They're just, it's like a little baby mustn't really know that they're a person.
Right, you know? Yeah, no, it's like if I was looking at you and going, right, well, there's only one person in the room, because I can only see one person.
Yes. So it's important to just black, you know, sculpt out exactly what the Western Empire does, what its motives are, what it enjoys, and what it wants to keep. Because we know it's in a state of post-primacy. It says that by its own estimates, you know. They, in 2017, the Department of Defense Risk Assessment actually had to state in, you know, we're in a state of post-primacy here. Is it just going to collapse, or is it going to scramble back into prominence? Or and by the Western status quo, you have to include things like Hollywood and the mainstream media and things that you wouldn't necessarily think of as empire, but that's because you live it, you know. It's normal to you. It's like finding out about your own white privilege and then realizing, I thought I didn't have a culture, but that's because I live a culture that, like, I live the dominant culture. That's
right. So it's invisible to you.
Yeah, it's like water to fish.
Right.
So
you're talking about plutocrats, defense agencies, intelligence agencies, and all their propaganda firms and stuff.
Yeah, and corporates, and it's like it's a large conglomerate of people.
And it's not limited to the United States. It's
like definitely not.
They kind of ignore national boundaries when right. It comes to their agendas.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Britain itself, and this is, we'll work hand in glove with the US on these sorts of things. Did so with Iraq. You know, Tony Blair was the guy who sold it to Europe, and that happens consistently. So
right, yeah, or how France helped destroy Libya.
Right, yeah. So it's it is important to show people who haven't really thought about this before that that yes, the US and its allies do have a motive to stage this. And yes, they do stage things like this as well. I mean, that's blowing their minds as well. They're like, no, we just, you know, we don't create crises.
You definitely do. That's extensively documented and admitted to in many instances.
Yeah, but it's really weird to people. You know, it's been
How can that be weird? Iraq is not just living memory. It's like, it feels like it just happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, people have the capacity to understand that the evil. Like, I know that people understand that they lied about the weapons of mass destruction, but do they understand that they didn't, that the whole thing was artificially created? It wasn't that they were like, I mean, they made the whole thing up from the ground up.
Yeah, it was not a mistake. A lot of people talking about the 15-year anniversary were talking about, like, oh, they were just too war-happy and they just jumped in when they shouldn't have. It was a top-to-bottom, ground-to-post construct to advance a pre-existing agenda.
Living it, you know, they came up with the idea for it and then they went ahead and gathered the evidence for it, which should always be a red flag for us now. That's exactly what happened with the Skripal case. You know, oh, we know who, you know, we know this is happening and now we're going to go and find the aluminium tubes. Now we're going to, you know, they built kind of like this castle of lies. Mm. Deliberately, though, they actually went ahead and did that knowingly. It wasn't that they were like, oh, oopsie, I just got, like, you know, wrapped up in... No, like, their intelligence was telling them that there was nothing there. We know that in Australia, ASIO, there was a whistleblower here who was just like, there's fucking nothing here. Like, they're lying. They're making this up. So who was lying and why? And that's never really been sculpted out. But the fact is that if you were anywhere near it, you must have known it was a lie and you continued and you added to it. Just like Boris Johnson. Like, he made the choice to keep saying over and over again, oh, well, yeah, definitely it's Russia, the Russian fingerprints on these chemicals, you know. He kept making that choice. Why? Why did he make that choice? You know, he has motive.
Yeah.
That shows motive.
Yeah, and this is the same guy that's been going around advancing, like, anti-Syria, Syria interventionist propaganda. He's been cuddling up with the white helmets and shit.
Yeah.
He's a pure scumbag. But yeah, with Iraq, it's so weird how the public seems to perceive it. Like, it's widely acknowledged that it should never have happened and was a catastrophic evil. And yet, it's like, I want to think that they think that oh, well, it was all the Bush administration, and once we got them out of there was no risk of it ever happening again, which is also completely naive, because the agenda pre-existed the Bush administration. Mm. But I want to think that at least that's what they're suffering from, the delusion they're suffering from, except it's clearly not true, because no one suffered any consequences. The entire Bush administration and all the people who constructed the Iraq invasion are celebrities. Still.
It made their career.
Yeah.
It didn't just... It's not something that they've, like, you know, had to carry around as, like, shame. It's made them. Right. They're wheeled out now, and Ellen dances with them. It's right. Fucked up.
Bill Kristol is more famous than ever.
Yes.
He's celebrated.
He is celebrated.
As a champion of truth and justice.
Oh, that yucky man. So, yeah.
John Bolton is in a really high position of power now.
Isn't that just the most annoying thing ever? It's just like finding out that you're, like, your schoolyard bully turned out, you know, is now getting the Nobel Peace Prize or whatever. Like, hang on. I know who that person is. I know what they do.
Right. Yeah, and there people are like, oh, well, we could... There's no reason for us to be going to... looking for excuses for escalations with a rival government.
Oh, God. Where have you been?
What do you think we are?
Oh, they're so fucked up. Like, they really, really are. They're so annoying. But anyway.
So what is the actual motive? Lay the motive out for us. What does the Western Empire stand to gain from lying about Russia?
They need to isolate Russia as much as possible. Russia is kind of the right... hand, the thumping hand of the Russia-China tandem. So China is increasing its dominance in the world markets. It's looking like it's going to be more of a multipolar world. There are other countries that are gaining, you know, a foothold because the CIA apparently can't run interference on every fucking one of them. So, it's, you know, they've managed to seek their way through the sabotage and actually, you know, get their feet on the ground, start establishing a good economy and some ideas for how to go forward with their own country. And that's very fucking scary to the Western Empire because it has managed to dominate through propaganda and war. Just through sheer military might, through the carrot of, you know, like, we'll protect you, and the stick of we will destroy you. Mm. So they've been a massive, massive bully throughout the world. And it's not like the world is, like, you know, cheering for the Western Empire.
Right.
The rest of the world is like, oh, God.
There was that survey.
Take him out.
There was that survey a couple of years ago about, like, who does the world see as the greatest threat to human life or something
like
that.
Yeah, to world peace, human life, or I can't remember.
I think it was, like, the U.S. and maybe Canada saw some different governments, saw Russia as that, or different governments as that, and then everyone else saw the U.S.
Right.
as the primary threat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when you've got 800 to 1,000 military bases all around the world, and you're known in your own country for running disruption campaigns, for interfering in elections, Australia lost, you know, our greatest prime minister to a CIA/MI6 disruption technique, a coup. So we're not even, like, you know, we look white and as Western as anyone else, but it doesn't seem to make any difference.
They came in just like us. You would imagine them doing it at a banana republic.
Right, and they keep doing this shit to us. Like, our Great Barrier Reef is, you know, in danger, and we can't do anything about it because of the stupid fucking trade agreements that make it impossible to tell corporates to fuck off, get out. You know, we just don't have any sovereignty anymore. So you can either be, like, you know, the friend of the bully, like us, or you're under just constant fucking, like, they torment most of the South American countries. You know, the DEA under the guise of saving the American people from cocaine destroy coca families and farms all the time. Like, just raise them to the ground. They destroy people's lives all over the planet. And everyone's fucking sick of it. We're over it. So when the only people who are deeply invested in the Western Empire maintaining the hegemony really should only be the ones at the top, because they're the only ones benefiting. The poor people in America right now are suffering just as much as any other fucker in the world. Like, you know, they're under just as much pressure from the stupid systems of capitalism that have created this fucking notion that, you know, you must that your survival depends on all these independent factors and your bootstraps and fucking, oh my God, rather than looking after each other. So, yeah, it's a disgusting cancer upon us.
Let's talk about that bootstrap thing for just a second. This seems like you're summing up our basic worldview here.
Yeah.
The bootstrap thing is interesting. That's, you know, in America, they've set up a system where the plutocrats have lobbied successfully for a system where money translates directly into political power in a clear and demonstrable way. And we've been pointing out that this actually gives plutocrats a motive to lobby to keep other Americans poor, the 99% poor.
Yeah.
Which is why this bootstrap propaganda mentality is so essential, because in order to maintain their rule, and the plutocrats do rule like kings, like emperors, in order to keep that political power in place, they need to make sure that they have all the money and the rabble don't.
Yes.
And in that way, they're able to use America and its vast military and economic might to advance their global agendas throughout the world.
Right. And here we are. Today is the 50th anniversary when Martin Luther King Jr. Was taken from us. One of the greatest humans taken from us. And, like, I was just watching a... All right.
It's okay.
Yeah, well...
We know you're sensitive.
Yeah, but it makes me really angry. But there's a video going around of him on Arami Osei Frimpong. He's so great. He was sending around a video of Martin Luther King Jr. talking about the bootstrap mentality and stuff and just breaking it down. Like, it is, you know, such a joke, a cruel joke to tell someone to pull themselves up by their bootstraps when they don't even have fucking boots, you know? But also, it is a cruel joke. Anyway, it was a mockery of the idea that you could pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Of course you can't. And it's such an egoic, egoically satisfying for those in power to... I'm sure they do believe that they're only in power because they're smarter, greater, better at things, you know, much kinder, like they're just more beautiful and, you know, more intelligent than anyone else. And that's why they've got all the money. It has nothing to do with, you know, their background or their luck or, you know, the fact that they were born
with the CIA.
Yeah. And how much nasty shit they've been prepared to do to get their money. You know, it's, yeah, to associate richness with, wealth with goodness was the greatest lie, wasn't it?
It's so absurd. Obviously, the people who can become the wealthiest in a very wealthy nation are the ones who are willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
The nastiest fuckers, yeah. You can't be a billionaire without being a fucktard.
No.
Like, yeah. So... and, you know, I know that we'll get people listening to this and they'll be like, oh, well, you're just jealous.
That's so weird.
I know, but this is the propaganda. It is like it's a church. It's the church of wealth. It's the church of money that has set up the bar for people's fucking existence. Are these green... oblongs, these green rectangles, and how many you have of them, and that's whether or not you can survive or not. And that judges your worth, your character. Like, that tells you how hard you've worked. What a load of fucking shit is it that the fact that you're rich, so that means that you work hard? What fucking bullshit? Have you never heard of inheritances? The really wealthy people don't do any fucking work. Because that's the point. You don't get wealthy to work hard. Only idiots who, you know, really have swallowed the Kool-Aid on this would ever think that, you know, that the whole idea is you live to work and you work to live. And that's noble and that's why you should be rich. Right. In this promised land of riches that comes later.
Yeah, it's pure nonsense. But yeah, that's an essential propaganda narrative to keep running throughout a country so that this disease that you just illustrated really nicely can dominate the planet.
Yeah. And if it can dominate the planet, then these plutocrats will rule the planet.
Right. And so to take it back to your article, the agendas against Russia are obvious. They should be obvious to everyone. Their allies are they are being constantly targeted. Syria. Look at what's going on with Syria. Do you think it's a coincidence that Iran? Look at Iran and Syria. Do you think it's a coincidence that these bad actors, these bad nations that America really wants to regime change, happen to be so closely aligned with Russia? You have to either believe that America is trying to stomp out rival nations to secure its global dominance, or that the other half of the world is made up of orcs, basically, like races predisposed towards evil, naturally. And all of them just happen to live outside of the U.S. dominant area. Those are really the only two choices.
The thing is, some people do believe that.
They have to. Yeah, I really believe that they do. But, I mean, like, there's the extensively documented fact that America is trying to retain its dominance. We saw that in Barack Obama's letter to Donald Trump. We saw that in the Project for a New American Centuries agendas that they laid out. Orcs.
Yeah.
One of those has got to be true.
Right, yeah.
To me, one is a lot more self-evident than the other.
Yeah. Anyway, so what else about that? That was basically it.
Yeah, so, you went through and you said, basically, so, if American media were honest, what it would say is, so we need to stomp out Russia so that we can take out China and Iran and Syria and all the other naughty governments and make sure that we're able to dominate so that we can have total control over you and total control over the world. We're going to do that. That is going to happen, and you need to just sit back and let us censor you and surveil you and kill as many people as we need to kill, have a world war, a nuclear war if need be, and you just sit down and let us do our thing.
Meanwhile, forget about single payer. Forget about, like...
That is so far beyond the back burner. That is not on the back burner. That is through the wall. that the back burner is near on the other side of the wall, out in the garden, buried underneath some rocks and sticks and shit.
Right, yeah. But there will be many Americans who are afraid of the outside world, who will be like, oh, well, I guess, you know, this is okay. I can deal, you know, my little prison cell here where I am constantly surveyed and that I, you know, I fear an illness and my life is full of blaring screens telling me what to think. I guess I can.
Make ends meet.
Yeah. This is better than China, like having some say.
You could
in
be
the world.
Speaking Chinese. Do you want to be speaking Chinese? That's my American accent. Do you like my American accent?
I thought you were talking in one all the time. Anyway, what have you been telling me? You're lying.
This is a Canadian accent.
I wouldn't even know.
I would.
Yeah, you would.
I would definitely.
It's so funny to me.
Not like those people.
No, yeah, you can tell like the difference between states in America, their accents in Canada, etc. To me, it's all just American, but like you can't tell the difference between me and an English person. And you live with me, like you love me. But if an English person comes up and talks to us, and you're like it's. Does she come from your place? Like, no. Why?
I spend so much time with you. There's really just the Caitlin accent. So if someone else comes in who isn't Caitlin and they're talking a little bit kind of like you, I don't really get it. But yeah, this notion that America should be at the dominant one because otherwise there's some remote possibility of another country rising to such dominance while no one is looking.
Yeah.
Like, well, China might sneak up while no one is looking if we don't constantly sabotage and kill and murder and slay any potential rivals, then China might sneak up while no one's watching and then all of a sudden, boom, you're speaking Mandarin. You know? What the fuck do you think? First of all, America has extremely easily defended shores. It's not a difficult country to maintain. It's very affluent. You just get more of a real economy going that isn't propped up at the barrel of a gun, and then you pull all your troops in, and it's very easy to defend, much easier to defend than this the global empire that you've been advancing. And plus, these guys are clearly evil. These guys are clearly not the ones who should be ruling the world. These are the ones that are imprisoning Julian Assange, that are surveilling everyone, as and propagandizing and censoring. They're trying to censor the internet right now. They destroyed Iraq, destroyed Libya, are still apparently trying to destroy Syria. They want to take out North Korea in some form or another. Did you read that recent report where they discovered that fleas infected with a biological weapon were dropped on Korea?
What?
Yeah, that's been revealed now, just recently. I'll show it to you.
Oh, holy fuck.
These are the people that we're told are the good guys. Like,
yeah.
We go, oh, it's them or the Chinese, it's them or the Russians. No, it isn't, you idiot. A multipolar world can be a thing. You can just have countries that are actual countries and function like countries instead of empires.
And also, ew, yuck. Yuck, you. Like, whatever is on the other side of this, it's better than you.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's just clearly just, no, fuck off. It's like it's like we're in an abusive relationship and it's just time to leave. And it's like, well, where will you go? I don't fucking know, but at least I won't be with you, asshole. Yeah.
Anything, anywhere is better than this.
Right.
So, yeah, it is really, really time to change and just say no. And, you know, the American people are really well placed to step up and make this happen in a really harmonious way.
Hmm.
You know, if they enough unplug from the screens, and I do think that enough are unplugging from the screens, get together, collaborate, start demanding change, like they are with the union strikes, etc. Like that, those must be scaring the elites. The fact that people are unionizing again and actually making gains for themselves. And actually just start demanding change on a local level. That'll really help the rest of the world. Just demand change for your own fucking selfishness.
Yeah, really just Americans acting in their own self-interest. And trying to create a system that benefits them and puts more money in their pockets than in the plutocrats and the war machine would benefit the entire planet. That would save the world.
Insisting on a democratic process would help the rest of the world. Mm. If they insisted that their elections be fair and that they get a say and that money be exercised from the proceedings, because basically the plutocrats are using the American government as a tool, as a weapon, because, you know, bribery is legal, so they just bribe the American government to do it exactly what they want. And since the American government has hegemony, then they can control everyone. But if, you know, just getting money out of politics would change everything for everyone all over the world. Mm. The American people are set, they're poised to be the superheroes here. Not the ones at the top, but the
regular people. Yeah, the ones who normally get to be the heroes.
Yeah.
Not the leaders and their armed goon squad.
Right.
The actual people, the actual money workers, the actual firefighters and police and teachers and factory workers, the normal human beings.
Yeah, they're really well placed to do this for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, I have a poetical desire for that to happen because, you know, I love Americans and I love their deep love of the Superman, the superhero trope, you know. Mm. That could be, like, it just makes sense to me that could be how this resolves, that, like, every regular, everyday American finds their inner Superman and Superwoman.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the reason that superhero narratives are so aggressively advanced by Hollywood and stuff is to keep everyone looking outside of themselves for a superhero.
Right.
Keep everyone looking outside of themselves for a Superman. If everyone looked within, watch out.
They would find what they were looking for. We need to write that movie, hey?
Yeah, man. Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, on Medium, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, which is really the best way. You can get an email notification every single time she publishes an article, so the internet censors can't stop her. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, yo.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? K Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love your girlfriend.